This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Since the coronavirus hit, the focus has been on adults, as the news out of China indicated that children suffered less severe symptoms if they contracted the virus. But there were cases of COVID that were just as severe for young ones as for their parents or grandparents. Now that 12 to 15-year-olds are approved for the Pfizer vaccine, pediatrician Natasha Berger takes us through how COVID-19 can affect kids getting your child vaccinated, and how the pandemic has affected maintaining children's health routines. Dr. Natasha Burgert is a pediatrician with Pediatric Associates of Kansas City. Dr. Burgert, nice to have you back again. Welcome.
It's great to talk with you, Steve. Good morning.
If parents or kids, for that matter, have questions about the vaccine when it comes to getting vaccinated, give us a shout. 816-235-2888 is our number. Tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. Natasha, how much do we know about how COVID-19 impacts kids? I mean, the word seems to be that the impact isn't as severe as for adults. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, I think that is true. You know, as we've all learned throughout the pandemic, our main focus has been to protect the individuals where the virus was really attacking, which was older individuals. So I really think the grand scheme of things, we don't know a lot about how COVID is affecting kids or how much COVIDs are in kids. But we do know that for many, many children, millions of children around the country, COVID is not a completely benign disease.
Hmm. Are we seeing, you know, a growing number of COVID-19 cases in our kids?
In Kansas City, you know, fortunately in Kansas City, our numbers are pretty low right now. Most of the kids that I'm seeing in the office are getting it in one of three places. They're getting it from unvaccinated family members, specifically their parents or caregivers. They're getting it in sports events that have decreased their other risk mitigation measures, and they're getting it through traveling mm. to other areas of the country. So it's definitely still around. We're still seeing it in the office. Fortunately, lower all over, but it's here.
And just anecdotally, Natasha, how's it affecting them? What are you seeing?
You know, it's a wide variety, just like you're seeing on adults. I've had some kids that are completely asymptomatic that we find incidentally. I've had kids that are hospitalized. Fortunately, don't have any patients who have directly had MISC, although we certainly have seen that in Kansas City.
And MISC is what?
The multi-system inflammatory disease that we're seeing in those kids that are getting them into the hospital. That certainly has been happening to some kids. Navigating long COVID in kids has been interesting too, and we're certainly seeing that as well.
So some kids have needed respirator help. Am I hearing you right?
The disease that kids are struggling from is an inflammatory disease. So although some kids have need respiration help, most kids have needed blood factors to be able to help them combat the disease and neutralize the disease that's affecting their various organ systems, not just their lungs.
What long-term effect do you think COVID can have on them? Or do we know?
I don't think we know. I don't think we know. I think we could speculate. I don't think we know. Just like we really don't know the long-term effects in adults too, Steve. I mean, this is still a relatively new disease. We know that kids can get sick. We don't know the long-term implications of their physical health, and we also don't know the implications of the long-term effect of their mental health, which we're also starting to see in adults.
But there's no question that kids can spread the virus. Do they spread it, you know, just the way adults do?
Yeah, they can. They harbor the virus and they spread the virus. So they can, although their viral load we think is approximately the same as adults, they have fewer receptors to receive that virus to themselves. So that's why we don't think they're as symptomatic, but they certainly can harbor it. They can give it to their peers. They can give it to their parents. I've seen that in our office. Vaccinating them, giving them neutralizing antibodies is one way to block that process.
We're talking about the impact of COVID on our kids with Dr. Natasha Burgert with Pediatric Associates of Kansas City. Let's turn to the vaccine itself then. Natasha, what do we know today about how the vaccine impacts children? Do we have a clear picture of that?
we have a meeting today that's hopefully going to be able to make to clear the windshield for us just a little bit. Right now, we have information that was released from Pfizer. Pfizer is the vaccine that we're talking about, and Pfizer is the mRNA vaccine that has the EUA extension from the FDA. Currently, we know that there were over 2,000 kids that were in their trial that was showing that the vaccine is 100% effective in preventing COVID infection in ages 12 to 15. Wow. We also know that the side effects profile is very similar to what we're seeing in adults: fever, fatigue, and soreness in the arm. So I don't think those of us who have followed the science closely are that surprised about how well this vaccine works in kids. We understand the science, we know how it works. I think we're all just very excited to see specifically more about the distribution of the type of trial participants and how we can deliver this vaccine equitably to all kids across the nation.
So when you hear 100% effective, doctor, that's pretty impressive.
It's remarkable. I mean, this whole thing is remarkable. It's remarkable how well it works in adults. And I think in the details, we kind of get lost on how lucky we are that one of the first vaccines that came to pass worked so well, because we could be in a situation where we were talking about a vaccine with 50% effectiveness, which is not the case. I mean, we're very fortunate. It's very serendipitous that this is the vaccine we're talking about today with 100% effectiveness.
Well, so people, you know, they already take this vaccine for granted, but just a number of months ago, if we were sitting where we are today with this knowledge that it's 100% effective, we would be giddy beyond belief, right?
I'm still giddy every day, Steve.
Wow. So now there's this push to vaccinate kids under 16. I gather there's no question in your mind, doctor, that this is a good thing to go ahead and do for your kids.
You know, assuming that the data that we'll get today in the ACIP meeting coincides with what Pfizer is telling us, I will be getting my own 14-year-old daughter vaccinated, actually, hopefully tomorrow, and I will be recommending it to my patients.
Did it take too long to get to this point, Natasha?
No, I don't think it took too long. You mean just for giving it to the kids?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't think it took too long. I mean, I think what we have now is over a year. Keep in mind that this is the same vaccine that we've studied for over a year now. So this is the process that we need to take. We need to get really good handle on how this vaccine works in adults. And then we slowly start to go younger and younger kids. Kids have a robust, fresh, new, exciting, highly reactive immune system. And so that is probably why they're not getting as affected by COVID-19. They can fight it well. We need to find out what dosage of the vaccine and what vaccine is going to be best to them, because kids are not little adults. So it is appropriate to kind of do this stepwise, stepping back into the smaller age groups, being more careful and cognizant as we get to the younger kids.
If our listeners out there have questions about this vaccine for kids, we're open for business, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. So is the dosage reformulated for children, or do you know that yet, Natasha?
It has been reported that the dosage is going to be the same for the 12 and above. So the same dosage as adults. It's still going to be a two dose separated by 21 days situation. So if parents are interested in getting their kids vaccinated, most distribution centers will just go ahead and set them up for that second shot as well. So you'll have both of those on your schedule. This to me makes sense, because for most vaccines, adult doses go down into our middle school ages, where they have more mature immune systems. Dosages need to become less and less as we get closer to the 6-month age. So I would imagine we'll start to see some dose changes for our kiddos in the 6-month to 11-year-old age group, probably in various sources in there. And that is currently, those dose-dependent studies are what both Pfizer and Moderna are working on as we speak.
Remind us why we need to give these shots in two different doses.
The shot is designed as what we call a prime boost. So what happens with the first shot is that you are going to get those little small mRNA particles that are going to help your body start to produce that spike protein. Once they make that spike protein and develop those antibodies, they just kind of sit around because they really don't know what to do. So 3 weeks later, after your body's had time to develop those antibodies, then we give a second shot. That second shot is really what's going to make that immune system wake up and say, wait a minute, we've seen this before. We know this is an enemy. We have an army of things that we can do to protect ourselves. And that's when we really get those neutralizing antibodies boosted after that second exposure. And that makes sense because also after that second shot is when most people are getting more reactogenicity or more side effects, right? Like I know when I got vaccinated, it was that second shot that made me feel relatively worse than the first with the listed reactogenicity that we would expect. I didn't feel good. I was tired. I had a sore arm. It was much more significant after the second or boosted shot.
I'm just curious what you're hearing from parents about vaccinations for their children. Are they wanting to vaccinate their kids? Are you hearing a lot of concerns about how safe it is? What kind of feedback are you getting?
The feedback is similar to what we get all vaccines, Steve. I've got a chunk of my patients that want it yesterday, and they'll be first in line to get it. I have a chunk of patients that are, I like to call them the wait and seers, right? They're going to kind of wait and see, make sure that over the next few months, we're not hearing about anything significant. And then they will opt to get their child vaccinated, completely appropriate. And then we have a chunk of patients that have no interest in getting it at all.
What do you tell them?
Most of those families have already had COVID. Those kids do have a relative amount of protection. We don't think it's going to be as durable as the vaccine. I still believe that the vaccine is going to be the best way to directly prevent kids against suffering from the illness and the long-term effects of it. And we keep talking about it. We keep talking about it. I understand parents' hesitancy. I mean, I've been for the last 15 months, all I've been thinking about is this. All I've been thinking about is COVID and the vaccine and how to protect these kids. And that, and the science and the process has been difficult for those of us who are trained to understand this stuff, let alone parents who are just worried that their kids are going to be okay. So we're going to partner and we're going to walk together and we're going to try to learn together. We're going to keep talking about it. And at the end of the day, I think we're going to respect each other's choices. And should something come to pass where we really start to see another significant consequence of COVID infection in children or adults that we want to prevent, hopefully more of those people might consider getting vaccinated.
What about the kids themselves? How worried are they about COVID as you interact with them in your offices every day?
That's a great question. And I talk to my kids about it a lot. Kids are, they don't like shots. Okay. So nobody's super excited about getting shots. Okay. Nobody's doing cartwheels down the hallway, but they know that by protecting their bodies, their life can get back to normal and their mom and dad will be less anxious about letting them go to their sporting events and letting them go to their friend's house and letting their friends come over. Like, this is going to allow that mental merry-go-round that we have been dealing with for the last 15 months. It's a way off that cycle by giving us confidence to let our kids get back to the activities that they want to do and that they need to do. Our kids need to get back to normal, and we need to do that confidently, and this is one way out.
So there's a carrot at the end of the stick here for kids.
Absolutely. They're not going to get directly ill. They're not going to get long COVID. They're not going to have to quarantine after exposure, right? Like, so that means they can continue to do their sporting events. They'll be continuing to be going to school even if they're exposed. Like, there's going to be advantages to them to be able to get vaccinated. I don't know how the travel situation might include kids in the future about traveling in the next few months. So, I mean, in addition to, you know, and I think in addition of being part of history. They're part of the solution. The pandemic will not be over until kids are vaccinated. They're a large percentage of our population. They hold the virus, they transmit the virus, so they need to be vaccinated against it. How fast that will happen, we'll wait and see.
So kids are anxious about getting shots. Well, I remember as a little kid, we used to call them pricks for some reason. I'm going to get a prick. I don't want to go to the doctor, you know. What do they say to you about their concerns about the vaccine?
Their concerns of about the vaccine are minimal. I mean, they don't want to get a shot, of course, but they want to be safe. These kids are wearing masks. They have been told for the last year that they need to stay away from people to stay safe. They have to wear masks to stay safe. They have to wash their hands. From their schools have been turned upside down, and so by offering this to them and saying, you don't have to worry about it, because a lot of kids are worried about getting sick. They know that this is a dangerous disease, mm-hmm. and they understand much more than we give them credit for that this is going to protect their bodies. And that's what we talk about in the office.
We're talking about the new Pfizer vaccine for our children ages 12 to 15. I'm visiting with Dr. Natasha Burgert, a pediatrician with Pediatric Associates of Kansas City. So far, Natasha, is just one vaccine approved for kids?
Right. So far, just the Pfizer mRNA vaccine is approved for 12 to 15, or 12 to 18, really. I would imagine that Moderna will follow closely behind to give us another option for kids. We will wait to see about that.
And again, just to emphasize the point, kids may have the same, you know, tired, achy reaction that many adults have had when they get these shots.
Yes, the side effects that Pfizer is reporting are very similar in intensity and in percentage than the adults, which is what we would expect.
And this is for kids 12 to 15 year old. At this point, do you expect that children younger than that will have a vaccine? Any idea what the timetable there is?
It's been reported that, you know, those studies are ongoing. Again, those are, you know, I think the safety and the efficacy has been confirmed by the over year of data that we have since the initial recipients. What Pfizer and Moderna are both focusing on now are those dose-dependent studies, and that's what we need to find out. It has been suggested that we may know that as early as September. Now, that's just the data. That doesn't mean it would be approved by September, but I'm just really, really hopeful for my own family and for the kids that I care for that learning something for our elementary age kids by the end of the year is certainly a possibility.
And what do you anticipate down the road? How young will kids be getting vaccines 6 or 8 months from now?
6 to 8 months from now, I still think we'll be in the 12 plus age group. I think after that, we'll probably see the 2 to 11s open up. The very last group of kids that we're going to see approved is the 6 month to 2 years, most likely. And that's just a guess.
Let's go to some phone calls here. 816-235-2888. Kendra from Kansas City, Missouri. Kendra, you're on Up to Date.
Hi, good morning. This is my first time. I'm a little nervous. Thank you so much. So I have three younger kiddos, 16 months, 5 and 7. So I was just wondering if you have any thoughts on when that might happen for them and if there's some way in this area that we could get involved to help with the research of the vaccines for those younger kiddos.
Yeah, that's a great question, Kendra. I think it'll be by the end of the year when we start to hear about it. I know that Children's Mercy Hospital is working on a dose study with Pfizer. On their website, they have a interest form that you can enroll your kids in. It's just for interest. It's not a guarantee that you'll get that opportunity. But that would be the closest place in our area and the largest place in our area that I would check first.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Well, Kendra, you did a great job. I hope you'll call back again sometime.
I will. Thanks so much.
You passed the test. Okay, I appreciate
awesome.
That.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
So, Dr. Burgert, you know, bottom line here, should parents have any concerns here when it comes to getting their kids vaccinated? What's your bottom line advice here?
bottom line is, as a mom of a 14-year-old, today is an awesome day for me. I get to go and take my daughter and get her protected from a deadly disease. And now I don't have to worry about her getting sick. So for me, this is a very, very exciting week as a mom and as a scientist who has been looking at this. So for everyone else, I want to strongly encourage a critical look at the cost and benefit. Everybody is going to have to make a decision. The decision is going to be, do I want my kid to get COVID? Or do I want to protect them with the vaccine? Because one of those two things is going to happen.
Hmm. Let's go to Mike from South Kansas City. Mike, you're on UpToDate.
Is this the first time that you've really resisted getting some resistance from parents? And do you anticipate a lot more of that going forward with all your medicine that you dispense? Goodbye.
Sure. So I think what he's alluding to is just general vaccine hesitancy, and pediatricians everywhere who are listening to this can nod our heads that this is what we do every day. I mean, we're constantly trying to battle misinformation and to give people what they need and parents what they need in order to make an informed choice. We've done that for every vaccine since smallpox, and we're going to do it on every vaccine that ever comes. And that's our job. I mean, that's why finding trusted partners, people that are aligned with your ideas about the way that you want to care your kids is super important, to keep asking questions, to not be scared to ask questions. We are trained and we are experts in dealing with that. And no reputable pediatrician is ever going to force you to do anything to your child that you feel uncomfortable. But we're going to encourage you as their advocates to explain the science and what we believe is going to be best.
What challenges has the pandemic presented for you, Natasha, and parents, for that matter, in maintaining their kids' health as far as, you know, wellness visits, other vaccinations, school physicals, and the like?
That's a great question. We're getting bombarded right now at the office because so many people just didn't bring their kids in last year because they were scared to bring their kids into medical facilities during the peak of COVID. And I don't blame them. So a lot of kids are behind. And that's a good point, Steve, because if let's say you're considering getting your child, your 12-year-old child, the vaccine, the COVID vaccine this week, and you haven't had a checkup in a while, your 12-year-old may need a tetanus shot, may need a meningitis shot, other school-required vaccinations, and those vaccines cannot be given within 2 weeks pre or post a COVID shot. Huh. So the timing of like routine vaccinations conflicts with getting this COVID series done. So if you do have a kiddo specifically that's 12 or 16, those are kind of some common times that we give adolescent vaccines. If they haven't been into the doctor's office for a while, you better call and make an appointment because there's other things that they're going to need, and their COVID vaccine sequence is going to affect that.
Interesting. Mac from Waldo. Mac, you're on with Dr. Natasha Berger. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to know how effective do we know it is in preventing the child to spread the virus to somebody else rather than just keeping themselves safe about, you know, spreading it to others.
Yeah,
that's it. That's a million-dollar question, Mac. And all I can say is we do not have any data in the kids, right? Because it's just emerging today. So that's going to be something that we continue to follow. But as we look at international data from other places with large percentages of populations that have been vaccinated, we are seeing decreased transmission from adults. So assuming that the technology is the same, we would assume decreased transmission, asymptomatic transmission from children, which is all good news. But interestingly, what we've also seen is just having people in your household, since the household is such an important place where we're transmitting it to our family members, just vaccinating members of the household protect the other members. So by vaccinating your parents, you're protecting the kids. By vaccinating your 12-year-old, you're protecting that 8-year-old. So it's this trickle down that's super important to consider, which I would only assume also is because the transmission rates are so low.
Hmm. Mac, thanks for the call. Let's go to Claire from Olathe. Claire, you're on UpToDate.
Hi, I was curious what level of caution you recommend for families where both parents are fully vaccinated, but the kiddos are too young to have access. We have a 6-month-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old, and we're just concerned about how much more caution we need to maintain until they can get the shot. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the good call.
Yeah, that's great, Clarence. And so many people are doing these mental gymnastics for the same situation. First of all, I would say I'm so happy to hear that both you and your husband are vaccinated. You are going to be the primary people who give the illness to the kids that live in your home. So by being vaccinated yourselves, you're doing a great service to your kids to protect them. Outside activities right now, I would not worry a bit. Please go outside and play. Go to the playgrounds. Have outside play dates with those young kids, even if they're not vaccinated. As long as the adults are, you should be good to rock and roll there. And I think we're still just being cautious with our kids in indoor big gatherings with multiple households. I still think that we have to be cognizant of that. But like I said at the top of the show, Kansas City rates right now are pretty low. So I think that we have this window of opportunity to vaccinate more kids, to be outside, enjoy our springtime, especially with these young unvaccinated kids, and give us a little time till we can get to the fall and hopefully get more vaccinated.
Well, Dr. Burgert, we gave you a pretty good workout here. I sure appreciate your time today. That's Dr. Natasha Burgert, a pediatrician with Pediatric Associates of Kansas City. Always appreciate your time, Natasha. You did a great job.
Thanks, Steve. Good luck.
You bet. After a short break, we'll be back to talk about a new program in Kansas that's trying to help out adults who don't yet have a high school diploma. I'm Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. We'll be right back.